Radio Prague News.
The lower house is to take a final vote on Wednesday on whether to strip former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova of her immunity, opening the way for prosecution. Higher inflation means Czechs can buy increasingly less goods and services for their wages, and experts are exhuming the remains of 14 Franciscan monks ahead of their beautification. Deputies in the lower house are to take a final vote on Wednesday on whether to strip former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova of her immunity, opening the way for prosecution. Ms. Parkanova is suspected of abuse of public office and breach of trust in connection with a questionable 3.5 billion crown purchase of CASA military transport planes while she served as Defence Minister in 2009. According to an independent assessment, the planes were overpriced by 658 million crowns. The former defense minister has come under fire for not commissioning an expert assessment on the price, though the Institute of State and Law has concluded that no such assessment was required under Czech law. Ms. Parkanova says her conscience is clear, but has not stated readiness to defend herself in court. Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee on Tuesday advised MPs to open the way for prosecution. The lower house of parliament has started another round of approval for the government's church restitution plan. Culture Minister Alena Hanáková responded to some of the points of criticism from the previous three rounds of debate, noting among other things that the Constitutional Court had confirmed the church's right of ownership to the properties in question. The last vote on the issue failed due to procrastination tactics employed by the opposition parties. Under the draft legislation, the Czech state would return some 56% of the physical property worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, Czech churches and religious societies would receive some 60 billion crowns in compensation over a period of 30 years. Czechs can buy increasingly less goods and services for their wages. The Czech Statistical Office reports that inflation grew by 0.3% to 3.5% in June, with a particular rise in the price of foodstuffs and tobacco. Analysts had expected 3.4%. Prices of vegetables rose by 18.5%, fruit by 10.4%, and eggs by 60.7%. Electricity and water prices were up by 4.2% and 12% respectively. On the other hand, clothing, household appliances, and home and garden tools all fell by 3.4% to 6.6%. Anthropologists and theologians are exhuming the remains of more than a dozen Franciscan monks who were killed in the early 17th century. The international group of monks is to be beatified 401 years after their deaths for their role in defending Catholicism in Protestant Prague. Experts will be studying the condition of their remains before removing specimens to be deposited in reliquaries in St. Vitus Cathedral and the Church of Our Lady of the Snows. The 14 men were killed by mercenaries of the Archduke of Austria, Leopold V, in 1611. The beatification ceremony, which has been in preparation for more than 300 years, should take place on October 13th in St. Vitus Cathedral. Now turning briefly to the weather, it should be partly cloudy with rain in places and daytime temperatures between 23 and 26 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Thomas McEncrow, and coming up in today's program, the baby girl that was kidnapped last week was found safe and sound in Germany. And Dominic Yoon asks why the Czech Republic is lagging behind in the digital restoration of its classic films. Later on, in Marketplace, Jan Richter takes a closer look at the tender accompanying the enlargement of the Czech Republic's largest nuclear power plant, and we'll end the show with our Czech lesson as usual. So stay with us. A three-week-old baby girl who was kidnapped by an unidentified man in the region of Ústí nad Labem last week has been found safe and sound. Following an intense police search in both the Czech Republic and neighbouring Germany, police learned the whereabouts of the child and four suspects on Monday. Now the newborn will be reunited with her family. Jan Wellinger has the details.
3-week-old Mykhaila Yanova was snatched from her baby carriage in Trmice last week with her mother helpless to stop an unknown assailant who bundled the child into a waiting vehicle. The perpetrator's black Volkswagen sedan reached the German border in just 10 minutes before seemingly dropping off the radar. It would then be 5 interminably long days for the child's family before the police apprehended the perpetrators almost 600 kilometers away. Learning their baby was unhurt and that their ordeal was over, the family expressed both gratitude and relief. Radomir Nidl is the baby's grandfather.
I can't describe the feeling when they came and told us that our granddaughter was healthy and safe.
Police officials involved in the investigation discussed the particulars of the case on Tuesday, revealing that the scanning of closed-circuit TV highway footage had proven among the most important factors. In the Uski region alone, for example, there were 15 cameras that surveyed traffic, and a team of 6 police officers reviewed more than 400 hours of tape to uncover evidence. Then, just over the border, the police found the vehicle's tossed license plates. Pavel Zahumensky headed the Czech investigation.
The license plates were stolen off another car in Ústí nad Labem. Finding them across the border was proof that kidnappers had travelled into Germany.
In Germany, investigators learned the car was from a rental company, and then it was only a matter of time before they were able to successfully track down the perpetrators. The baby was then taken to a nearby hospital and is now to be transferred home. It was unclear on Tuesday, though, whether her family will pick her up personally or await her in the Czech Republic, as the child's mother, who had suffered a collapse fearing for her child's safety, had to rest first. Her father explained she'd been unable to sleep for days. And he said this.
Above all, I want to thank all of the media, the radio stations and TV broadcasters, and the police here and in Germany for putting everything they could into this case.
Now it'll be up to investigators to learn more about how the 4 suspects in custody planned the kidnapping and to exactly what purpose.
And thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. Since the advent of the DVD video format in the late 1990s, many countries around the world have been remastering and restoring their respective movie archives. With the relatively recent advent of high-resolution Blu-ray home movie technology, such restoration efforts have increased exponentially. But perhaps surprisingly, the Czech Republic lags far behind its neighbours in this effort. While the Slovaks have restored around 80 feature films, animated films and documentaries, only 2 Czech films, the aforementioned Fireman's Ball, the restored version of which was recently screened at the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, and the 1967 movie Markéta Lazarová, have undergone such rejuvenation. Dominik Jun spoke with the director of the Czech National Film Archive, Michal Bregant, about this discrepancy, and began by asking about the restoration of Miloš Forman's iconic and highly allegorical New Wave film.
What we did with Fireman's Ball or Hoří Mápanenko is the same that was done here with Markéta Lazarová last year, and this is this digital restoration, which means that we always are using the original material from the time when the film was released, and what we want to achieve is the most authentic shape and image and sound also of the film as the audience watched and listened to it at the time of the first release.
So scratches are removed, the color fading is fixed, all those kinds of things,
right?
Is that right?
We never do any kind of improvements. We always tried only to restore the material and make it looking as it was kind of authorized by the director of photography.
And will this be available for viewers on Blu-ray and also DVD?
It will be released for movie theaters, and also, I guess, later in the fall, a Blu-ray disc will be available on the market.
And you mentioned Markéta Lazarová. This is the second film that's undergone restoration. Why have there been so few films when we compare it with, for example, Slovakia, which has restored
Poland.
About 80, or
yeah,
Poland?
Yeah. The reason is, unfortunately, unfortunately only the money. We are quite ahead of time regarding the methodology or the theory and also the concept of digital restoration, but the Slovak Film Institute, they do it differently, less costly, but mainly they have much, much bigger support from the government. Actually, we have support of the government as well from the Ministry of Culture, but the problem is that financially it's incomparable.
And how much does such a thing cost to restore a film like that?
This complete and high standard digital restoration is approximately 1 million Czech crowns for one film.
And there's no commercial viable path, presumably, because obviously when the DVD format was released, a lot of Czech films came out, but they were evidently not at all remastered, and they would come tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
So why wasn't there any remastering done there? Is it simply because there's not money, there's not even a market?
Exactly, there's no money for that. This commercial success of Czech films on DVDs, which was like 4 or 5 years ago, there was quite overwhelming. It was really people were buying those cheap DVDs in a huge amount. Not only collectors or the big fans of Czech films were buying those, but it's not the situation nowadays. Now the market with DVDs is going very, very steeply down, and we don't really see any big future for the DVD market. So we have to move for Blu-ray discs, and think also about the online presentation of films and so on.
Final question. There's apparently a list of 200 films that have been selected for restoration. Yeah. So what's next?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on who will be financing the next film, because the film of Miloš Forman, Hořímá panenko, initiative came from the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, but it was financed by a private investor. What is on our short list is the film of Vojtěch Jasný, All My Good Countrymen, also this very classical Czech film of 1948, Alfred Radok's Distant Journey.
Many thanks to Dominik Jun for that report. A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for our main feature. The biggest public procurement project ever held in the Czech Republic entered a new stage when earlier this month, the state-owned energy firm ČEZ received 3 bids to build 2 new blocks at the Temelín nuclear plant. The winning bid should be announced next year, while the project, estimated to cost between 200 and 300 billion crowns, should be finalised by 2025. In this edition of Marketplace, Jan Richter looks at the Czech nuclear tender.
Boxes filled with thousands of documents were shipped to the Prague headquarters of the state energy firm ČEZ on Monday, the 2nd of July, detailing the 3 bids to expand the Temelín nuclear plant. The bids came from 3 corporations, the French company Areva, the US-Japanese firm Westinghouse, and a group of Russian and Czech firms headed by the Russian state energy firm Rosatom. The bids will now be reviewed by experts in ČEZ, who will rank them before the Czech government determines the winning offer sometime next year. The government commissioner for the expansion of the Temelín nuclear plant, Václav Bartuška, says the process follows the protocol for any public procurement project.
It's just like in any other company, which has first the management and then shareholders who make the final decision. So at this stage, the company, ČEZ, first on the, let's say, engineering level and then at the level of finances in the company, has to pick one of the 3 or none. And then it will ask the shareholder, and the biggest one is state, it will ask shareholders for approval. And the government will look at the project suggested and will decide whether or not it will allow it.
Today, some 30% of electricity generated in the Czech Republic comes from nuclear power. There are now 2 reactors at Temelín with a capacity of around 1,000 megawatts each, and 4 reactors at the country's other plant, Dukovany, which in total generates some 1,700 megawatts of electricity. Around 60% of electricity is produced in coal-powered plants and the rest in hydro and solar facilities. The expansion of Temelín should fulfill the Czech government's goal of producing up to 50% of electricity from nuclear power by the year 2030. While Germany has decided to phase out nuclear power and some other EU countries are considering the same move, the Czech Republic is becoming a champion of nuclear energy.
I don't think that we debate a future of nuclear as such. There seems to be a majority view in the country that nuclear is fine, that we will stick with nuclear for decades to come. There is no parliamentary party which would like to ban nuclear or leave nuclear. So there is no debate of this sort you have in Germany or elsewhere in Europe.
Some Czech environmentalists and energy analysts argue, however, that the country could do without expanding the Temelín plant. Instead, the country could modernize some of its coal plants and rely on renewable sources of energy, as well as higher energy efficiency. But Václav Bartuška believes Czech industry will need more energy once the recession in the EU is over.
The demand for electricity in Europe dropped significantly in the last 3 years. It's either because we became much more energy efficient, which I'm not sure it's true, or because we have major recession going on in Europe. And that's why we have now a surplus of electricity. If you believe that Europe will come back to work and will once again actually make things, then I think we will need electricity. If we really decide to drop a towel in the ring and become a continent which makes nothing and imports everything, then sure, we don't need any new power stations. We can close many of the present ones.
No details of the three bids have been made public, but the cost of the two new blocks is usually estimated at between 200 and 300 billion crowns, or between roughly 10 and 15 billion US dollars. After evaluating the three bids in view of price, the transfer of know-how and the volume of contracts for Czech firms, the government might still decide to scrap the entire project. But Commissioner Bartuška says this is not likely to happen.
The debate about the cost of nuclear and whether we really want to go ahead, that's really a major discussion here. And it could easily end up with no one being chosen, with the tender being stopped. But at the moment, I don't think this is going to happen. I think that we will find a suitable project.
Commissioner Václav Bartuška refused to publicly comment on the bidders and their offers, but David Trampa, an energy reporter for the Daily Lidové Noviny, did not. He believes the race is now on really between the Americans and the Russians.
For Russian Rosatom and American Westinghouse, it's very important to get the first real order from an EU country. So they are very interested to win the Temelín tender. And maybe it seems that Areva is outsider of the tender because of all their problems they have when they are constructing Olkiluoto 3 in Finland and Flamanville 3 in France. There are many problems with time delays and cost overruns and so on.
Another reason why the French firm appears to be lagging behind its competitors is the type of reactor they are offering to build. While Westinghouse's AP1000 has a capacity of 1117 megawatts and the Russian Mir 1200 reactor generates around the same volume of electricity, Areva's reactor might be too big for Temelín.
It's 1,600 megawatts. It's too much for a country like Czech Republic. And it seems Westinghouse will bid maybe a very good price because the reactor is maybe technical interesting solution. It's maybe not so complicated like the competitors. But there is also good chance for a Czech-Russian consortium because they have the best position on the field of cooperation with Czech industrial and Czech technological companies.
All three bidding companies have been markedly present in the Czech Republic in recent months. U.S. Ambassador Norman Eisen rarely fails to mention Temelín and Czech-U.S. cooperation in nuclear energy at his appearances, just like French diplomats who stress the European aspect of the deal and say the Czech Republic should not forget it's a member of the EU. The Russians, on the other hand, have focused mainly on lobbying among Czech industrialists and politicians and gained an important ally. Czech President Václav Klaus said he considered the Russian bid the best, based on the outlook that up to 70% of the work would be done by Czech firms. Lidové noviny's David Tramba again.
President Klaus likes to go against the stream, and he also supported the Russian consortium when their position was very weak.
So what has changed? Why is their position stronger now?
I think it's mainly lobbying of Czech industrial companies because they feel that their bid is that if a Czech and Russian consortium will win, it will bring them the largest amount of orders.
Do you think that the 70% that's been mentioned, the 70% of the work will be done by Czech companies? What do you think? Do you think it's realistic?
In the case of Czech and Russian consortium, it seems that it's a reality because they have the complete list of all the potential suppliers, and it seems that it is counted that Czech companies will get 70% if they win. But in the case of Russia, of American and French company, I think it's not real to get 70% for the Czech companies.
Besides the total price and the volume of work for Czech companies, another consideration is linked to politics. Some believe it would be a grave mistake to award such a significant contract to a Russian firm, given the strained relations of the two countries and Russian efforts to keep political influence in Central Europe. But David Tramba says these issues are no longer as relevant as they were at the start of the process.
In the beginning, it seemed that it will be the major issue, the politics and relation with France, USA and Russia, but now it seems different. I think the price will be the most important thing in the tender.
The plan to build two new blocks at Temelín has met with some opposition both in the Czech Republic and abroad. Czech environmental groups, as well as local governments in German and mainly Austrian regions close to the South Bohemian plant, are concerned, among other issues, about the plant's safety. But Václav Bartuška says when public debates were held in those countries, the response was very limited.
The fact that there is not much of a debate as such in Europe about energy is the most worrying issue. You know, based on the offer of the Prime Minister Nečas, we actually had two public discussions in Austria and Germany in recent months. In Austria, in the hall, 4,600 people, there were 30 visitors. In Germany, in the hall with 2,000 seats, there were maybe 50. And we had a public hearing about Temelín in České Budějovice in the Czech Republic. In the hall, which was ready for 3,000 people, there was 80-100 people participating. So for me, the true worry about nuclear, but not just nuclear in Europe, is that the public basically doesn't care much about anything, which I think is a bad sign for democracy.
The decision about Temelín will largely depend on economic calculations. It would make little sense to invest so much money, between one-fifth and one-third of the entire state budget, into an operation that would not generate profit. The energy firm ČEZ is reportedly looking into spreading the cost with private investors. Another option would be introducing guaranteed purchase prices for electricity, thus sharing the cost with consumers. David Tramba says ČEZ managers are betting on higher electricity prices in the future.
No one knows how the price will develop in the next years. There are problems with economic recession in Europe and also very chaotic energy policy of EU. But it seems maybe the price will go up because many old power plants will be closed and so on. So I think it's mainly some insurance, maybe, or how to say, because it's maybe, I think, ČEZ top management is thinking what to do if the price will be so low for the long term.
The Czech government will have the final word on the project, but given its record of corrupt public procurement, a series of army deals, for instance, can Czechs be assured that the decision will be in the country's best interest rather than in the interest of someone else? Commissioner Bartuška says he is tired of talking about it.
If you don't trust the government, replace it with some other. Well, you do it usually through elections. There's a thing called elections in which you choose the politicians you trust. And I'm really a bit tired of this argument in this country now that we are run by crooks and idiots. If it's true, then we are all idiots. You know, if you let people who you don't trust to run your finances and decide about your future, then you are yourself rather dumb. So if that's what's happening with us, with Czechs, then that's a very sad story, and it cannot be helped by any transparency in any tender.
After the bids are pre-ranked by ČEZ by the end of this year, the government should announce its pick in the summer of 2013. If they decide to go ahead with the construction, the new two blocks should be fully operational by 2025.
And now, in the final part of today's program, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Welcome to Radio Prague's new Czech language series, Czech by Numbers. We are going to take the title quite literally and we'll be exploring Czech numbers, numerals and their derivations in different contexts, as well as idioms and collocations. Let's start from one. Czech being an inflected language with a developed grammatical category of gender, there is more than one word to express the meaning of one. One man is jeden muž, one woman is jedna žena, and one child is jedno dítě. To make it even more complicated, a pair of scissors is jedny nůžky, because grammatically it's a plural, even though it's only one object. The word jeden, or one, can be used in the same sense as in English, as in the expression one would expect,
jeden by čekal.
The neuter form
jedno
can be used on its own, meaning one beer.
Pojď na jedno
means let's go for one. The expression
je mi to jedno
means it's all the same to me, I don't care either way. The name of the actual figure one is
jednička,
and it can be also used to mean the best, as in
ty jsi jednička,
you are number one. A number one tram would also be
jednička.
The same word also means the best mark in school.
Mít samé jedničky
means to have straight A's. A similar word
jednotka
means unit. The word
jedináček
means an only child.
Jedinec,
on the other hand, is an individual. And the adjective
jedinečný
means unique. All those words are derived from the same root. But just like in English, the ordinal number comes from a different root. The first is
první,
a word which is the same for all genders and numbers. And that's all for our lesson number one.
První lekce.
Until next time,
nasledanou!
That was another episode from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC language series. I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us or email us, our address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you, as always. This is Thomas McEncrow saying thanks for listening and take care.